Sex is the life force energy that runs through us all. Can you use sexual energy for your spiritual evolution, or perhaps for emotional healing? Is it even possible? Clinical sexologist Dr. Martha Tara Lee will explore all these and more on Eros Evolution on Om Times Radio.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Eros Evolution. This is where sexuality and spirituality meet. My name is Martha. I'm a clinical sexologist with a doctorate in human sexuality, and I'm from Eros Coaching. That's eroscoaching.com. So I'm a clinical sexologist with a doctorate in human sexuality, and this radio show always explores the link between sex and spirit. And it's been around for 2 years now, and every week I have a different guest. If not, I'll be hosting the show by myself, and or I'll be doing a summary of the previous episodes. Let me talk about my week. And so on my website, I just released a book review called Regain That Feeling, and it's by a guest who has been on this show, by an author who has been on this show several times. And his name is Mitchell Stephen Tepper. And he previously, I actually mentioned his book, and we actually talked about his book extensively in one of the episodes. And so finally, after all this time, I've written his book review. And let me just check. Yes, I first interviewed him, Love After War, Supporting Disabled Veterans, and this was episode 84, which was August 18 last year. And the very, very first one was actually episode 67, which was on April 21st. That was the first time I connected with him, interviewed him, and it was the show title was Five Secrets to Pleasure and Connectedness. And that was where I first connected to him, and subsequently have interviewed him twice for this show, the first one being April and the second one being August. And he's really a very well-established sex educator in his own right. And he's very articulate and has a fantastic memory of names and all the things that he's done. And for those of you who are interested to read the book review, you can go to my website, eroscoaching.com. Under the review, you'll be able to read the book review. You can find Mitchell Tepper's book review going to my website, and you can find every single episode of Eros Evolution by typing Eros Evolution at a glance, and you'll be able to find it. Just key in Eros Evolution at a glance by going to Google, and you'll be able to find it. And I have several book reviews that I released, including two of them which I have actually interviewed on this radio show. One is Ask Building Consent Culture with Kitty Stryker. So remember, she was on a previous episode, and so you can check it out. Okay, so now we have a break, and we'll get back after this break.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hi, I'm Kelly Fox, host and astrologer of The Astrology Show. Each week, I'll give you access to the current transits, which are a valuable tool that provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has. Understanding the stars can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, be sure to tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance, Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Every 2 minutes, an American is sexually assaulted. The majority of victims know their attacker. It could be your friend, your neighbor, or someone you met at a party. If you said no, it's rape, and it's a crime. This is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Call the National Sexual Assault Hotline today at 1-800-656-HOPE or visit RAIN.org. That's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
And welcome back to Eros Evolution. This is where we always explore the link between sex and spirit. So we have a guest who is supposed to come on today's show. Unfortunately, we have been unable to patch her in despite trying this repeatedly. And so far on today's show, I have talked about the book reviews that I'm releasing on my website. That's Eros Coaching under blog. I have released Regain That Feeling with Mitchell Tepper, and he's appeared on this radio show twice. I also released on July 15 the book review for the book Ask, Building Consent Culture with Kitty Stryker, and also the book Thriving in Sex Work, Heartfelt Advice for Staying Sane in the Sex Industry by Lola Devina. And all three book reviews can be found on my website, and you can listen to the episode of each of these books at Eros Evolution at a Glance. And so this is pretty much some of the things that you can check out based on previous episodes if you've enjoyed them. Okay, so because we've had a guest drop out, so one of the things that came up for me that I thought that I could talk about in today's show is about relationships between men and women, primarily people who are heterosexual couples, because that's my experience in this personal short story that I want to share. And of course, the dynamics of a heterosexual couples often do play out in other kinds of relationships, including same-sex relationships. So one of the things that some of you might remember me talking about is that I have a mom who has stage 4 breast cancer, and she's not well, and her condition is getting progressively worse, as she's had her lymph nodes on the right side of her body removed, and after, say, close to 20 years of having those removed, she's very fortunate because it's really been 20 years with the lymph nodes being removed. Now there is problems with the lymph nodes not functioning, of course, because they were removed, and now they are kind of like blocked and swollen, and her right arm started to swell up right around like 3 years ago. So she started going for acupuncture, she started going for massage, and it helped with the swelling, until later on it was diagnosed that basically the cancer is spreading now to her arm. Her arm is becoming even more swollen, and because one arm is more swollen than the rest of her body, the other arm especially, is causing her difficulties with balance and with walking, so there are stability issues, and she's fallen down a few times. And so she's not well. That's what I'm trying to say. She's going for chemotherapy, and at a certain point, her white blood cells got really low, and the treatments had to stop. And so she would just keep trying when she has had a period of rest, she would just try. So she would try maybe like the next week, or she would try like after 2 weeks. So she would keep trying. And it came to a point where now, right now, her white and red blood cells are low, which means she's very prone to infections. And doctors say, oh, you know, if she catches something, she could basically go into a very critical condition pretty quickly. She could pass away really quickly. And okay, so with this backstory, now let me share with you what does happen with my interactions with her, because whatever it is that I have with her, the past issues in our relationships, we have difficulties with communicating, and I don't really feel particularly close to her. However, because of her condition, I've learned to just kind of let go of the past, the judgments that I've held against my parents, how as a kid I would judge them and say they are not good parents, or they could have done this, or they don't love me, or I don't feel loved. So as a kid, judging my parents, alienating them from me, yet at the same time also feeling pretty suffocated with my mom being quite, you know, like violating my boundaries, and so wanting to withdraw from her, push her away, or block her. That's what happens, I suppose, when you have an overprotective parent. So now with her cancer, I had to let go of all that from the past, with the thinking belief that you can't expect old dogs to learn new tricks. You can't expect people to change. I need to be the change influence. I need to be the influencer of change. So what I started to do with my mom is I do recognize her efforts in working on herself, letting go of anger, her efforts in exercise, meditation. I am really proud of her with her bravery and her courage in facing cancer and fighting for her life. So there are like really amazing qualities that I do admire and appreciate in my mom. So letting go of past judgments, and also, I don't know what I call, like maybe self-righteousness in what I felt I deserved. So I let go of all that. However, right now what's happening is whenever I try to express care and concern for my mom, and I would ask her how she is, I would hold her, hug her, I would, you know, go near to her, want to talk to her. So I'll ask her, how are you today, mom? I'll ask her. And I would ask her in a open, curious, caring way. And she would take the opportunity to turn around and give me unsolicited advice. So I'm asking her how she is, and she would say something like, okay. And if I'm close enough to her, she might say something like, oh, you know, you better cut your hair, it's too long. And I felt like that was kind of a kind of stonewalling, as in because I'm trying to express love, and then I feel like there was something that short circuits the love that I'm trying to extend to her. And so in my reflection of what is going on, it feels like she's not able to receive love. And for someone who's overgiving and overprotective and basically smothering all my life, she's so used to giving and giving and being a service and feeling useful that she's not able to really be the recipient of somebody who wants to express love without pushing others away. So I've known for a long time now, because she's my mom, I know she doesn't know how to receive. And in my own personal reflection, I feel that when people have difficulties with receiving, this is possibly what they might do. They might do what is irrelevant, or they might say what's irrelevant, like, oh yeah, look at the sky. Or they might say things that are really inappropriate for that moment. Like, I'm trying to have a conversation around you and your health. I'm asking how you are. You turn it around me and ask me, you know, how come I'm eating too much? Or how come I'm not eating? Or how come I look tired? Or how come this, how come that? And this short circuits the communication. And then she turns around and complains about the lack of love in her life, without realizing her behavior is actually pushing people away. So I'll talk more about this after this break.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times. Co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
What's up? This is Brad and Mike from Linkin Park for Lifebeat, the music industry fights AIDS. Listen up, times are tough and you get a lot of things thrown your way. If you're being pressured to have sex and you're not ready, then say no. If you're having sex, be smart and use protection. Respect yourself and protect yourself.
For more information, call the National AIDS Hotline at 1-800-342-AIDS or log on to www.lifebeat.org.
Okay, so we're back, and I'm still pretty like upset about how I couldn't get my guest on today and the big drama that is happening behind the scenes. But anyway, let's move on. I was starting to actually talk about something that actually is useful to listeners besides trying to get my guest on the show. I was trying to basically explain to you the backstory of how my mom has stage 4 breast cancer. It's getting progressively worse, and as I try to patch our relationship, let go of the past, I try to reach out to her, try to express my love for her, felt that she was stonewalling me, felt that she's not able to receive my love and concern, and this is the time where I want to be close to her, and instead of that, I constantly get told, whenever I try to approach her, I get told something really like negative in my face. Like for instance, she would just tell me to go cut my hair. And so then I started to talk about, just before the break, about how I feel she is not able to receive love. And I'm starting to dissect this personal story into possibly something that might be useful to listeners out there, which is that people who have difficulties with receiving love, actually, in their discomfort, they might be pushing people away. they might be, I already mentioned just now, they might be saying things that are irrelevant unnecessarily and actually even repulsive. So because she's so uncomfortable receiving love, you feel uncomfortable expressing your love around her. So because you feel uncomfortable around her, because it always turns around into something that is about you, and you don't really feel that that's like a exchange. It doesn't feel two ways. It doesn't feel easy. It feels dis-ease. And so you don't want to spend time with these people. And then my mom would then turn around and complain about people not expressing her love and concern, about people not wanting to spend time with her. And so this is like this whole vicious cycle of how you cannot win. You want to show love to her. You want to spend time with her. Yet she pushes you away. And then she complains that you're not spending time with her. And once again, she's playing poor woo, you know, like woo to me, like I'm such a victim. And yet she doesn't have the ability to reflect on her own part, to her own unhappiness. And she's not able to take responsibility for that because I guess old dogs can only learn some tricks. So people tell me to let go of all that. People tell me that I should, you know, not expect much from that. People say I should just put up with it. And it's actually very frustrating because you really have no idea how to make this situation better because it takes two to clap. One wants to give, the other one needs to be able to receive. If the other person can't receive and actually is pushing against the love that you have, it actually kills love. And this is something that I see in my clients. Sure, I'm talking about my mom, and sure, it's a personal story, and sure, you can probably tell that I feel affected. However, this is not just about me. This is actually also playing out in relationships. And I have lots and lots of clients who are in such relationships where one is the giver and sees nothing wrong with giving. And actually, in trying to play giver, actually short-circuits love, actually kills love, and actually ends up in a situation where maybe they don't express it, but they are just like my mom. They're unhappy that people don't want to spend time with them. People don't show them the love and attention that they need. So even though they can't express it and can't receive it, deep down they're not happy. They're not getting any. So it's this cycle that I mentioned is really frustrating. So what actually happened was I finally just snapped. I snapped at my mom and I just told her, you know, stop giving me advice. Stop nagging at me. Stop using every single time I'm reaching out to you as a way to attack me. And I know she doesn't mean it. She means well. But if I feel attacked, so I yelled at her. I said, stop nagging. And of course, then I feel bad because she has stage 4 breast cancer. And so then what happens, I notice, is this is like family counseling, constellation thing playing out. I yell at my mom. My mom can't process negative emotions. The next day she yells at my dad. She yells at my dad and orders him around. And then she reestablishes her dominance in the household. So I can laugh about it, but of course it's really not that funny. yet I see all this playing out, right? I have enough self-awareness to say, hey, you know, I did this to mom, and then mom does this to dad, and then dad doesn't feel well, and nobody in the household feels well. And so the stress of the cancer continues. You can say it's cancer, you can say this is who she is, and maybe this would have played out to a much more toxic level if she wasn't unwell. And because she's unwell, you know, more stress is created on people around her, including how they suppress their truth. So this goes on and on, and she, I feel my mom seems to have this purpose of testing people and their limits. So I can judge my mom, I can like criticize my mom and all this stuff, but you know, the higher self in me also sees the teacher in her, the mirror in her, because whatever it is that I say about other people, I probably need to re-examine my own patterns, my own shadow side of how I probably do this to other people without knowing it. Because as her daughter, growing up in her household, being used to her behavior, I might have picked up some of her behaviors that I can't stand. And am I also doing this to my friends who are trying to express love and concern to me? Am I also pushing away people who are trying to show love to me, for instance, maybe trying to give me treats, and then I say, no, don't need? Or am I trying to say no to life or no to money by saying, no, you don't have to pay me so much? Or to clients who want more sessions with me, and I say, no, you just need one session, and pushing abundance away. So it's a great mirror, you know, to have that kind of self-awareness to say, I'm not pointing fingers at mom. The fingers point right back at me. Am I doing this? And I'm sharing all this, you know, with true humility. I hope you understand that I'm not taking this as just an opportunity to just, you know, complain and whine about my mom. I'm trying to say that I see this story playing out, not just in my own life, but I see this story playing out in the lives of other people. And my intent of sharing this is by putting myself out there. I know I might be judged. I know that people might be saying, you're a bad daughter for talking bad things about your mom. But actually why I'm sharing this story is I claim my part in this. I claim that I am her daughter, and I may have inherited some of these very things that I don't like. But I'm sharing this because I hope to bring light to other people and illuminate aspects of your life where you have difficulties with receiving, pushing people away, causing a lot of dis-ease around your life, and then playing victim by saying that you don't get the love, attention, or time or love that you deserve. So I actually shared this post on my Facebook wall, and I put like maybe four paragraphs of it, and I was really surprised that about like 37 people liked it, and this was a private post, right? So only the people who are my friends could see it. 37 people liked it, and about 20 people actually left a comment. And surprisingly, many of them actually said they are experiencing exactly the same thing with their own parents, and how frustrated they are feeling, and how they empathize with me, and how this story really strikes a chord in them. And one of them actually shared, and I'm going to read her comment because I know she would love for me to reshare it. So she said, wow, such an great picture of how women can behave when they don't know how to receive. I'm so impressed you are observing all this as if from a higher place, and love her anyway, just allowing, not just condemning her behavior. So my friend actually, Allison Southern, she actually really understood the whole point of my sharing. It's not just about a mother-child relationship. It is also about how women or men behave when we don't know how to receive, which I just mentioned. So this is one story about the dynamics of inability to receive that I want to just share with you guys. Another story actually, which actually happened around the same time of this me snapping at my mom story, was around newspapers. So I'm sharing a different story now, and this different story also has a point. So in this story, I was at the dining room table and I was reading the newspapers. And ironically or coincidentally, my parents had gotten home while I was reading the newspapers. So they had bought me lunch. I was starting to eat my lunch and while still reading the newspapers. So they started having a conversation while I was there. And so I couldn't really like remove myself because I was still eating. And so this conversation started. My mom was at the balcony, which is like the adjacent room to the dining living room area. And so she was at the balcony and she started sorting out the newspapers. So she was like, you know, like fumbling around I could hear her, you know, like trying to tidy up the newspapers. So she said to my dad, she said, you need to sell this stack of newspapers. So she basically in Singapore and probably in other parts of the world, it's the same. You take things that you want to recycle and then you sell it to someone who then in turn sells it to somebody else. And as an intermediary, they make a little bit of money and they might give you a little bit of money for selling it to them. But then they would sell it at a profit. So my mom wants to sell this stack of newspapers and she tells my dad, you need to sell this stack of newspapers. So then my dad says, leave it for the charity collection coming on the 24th. So this happened like about a week ago. So he wanted her to leave it because the charity will come collect it. We don't get any money when you give it to charity, but my dad actually wanted to leave the newspapers for charity. And then my mom says, your newspapers is taking up my space. So now it becomes your and mine, pretty antagonistic. And she continues rearranging the newspapers. And then my dad very calmly says, leave it. We'll donate it. And my mom says, donate. Like my mom doesn't believe that he's going to get it done. And so she wants to sell it like now, like right now. And then my dad repeats again, leave it. Surprisingly calm. And suddenly we hear the newspaper collection man coming, and then she swings open the door and she tells him that she's selling the newspapers. And my dad sees all this happening and, you know, is pretty like angry and frustrated. So I'll continue with this story after this break.
Bringing you the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, your conscious lifestyle on steroids. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hi, this is Julie Geigel.
And I'm Susan Schuler.
And I'm Lori Walker.
And we are
the Psychic Angel Channelers
from Angel Talk Tuesday.
Tune in every week at 10 a.m. Eastern on OhmTimesRadio.com.
The angels have heard your call and are here to help.
Are you ready to receive?
Bathe in the beautiful vibrational frequency to help you heal, expand, and remember your magnificence with Angel Talk Tuesday.
It's on us to stop sexual assault.
To get in the way before it happens.
To get a friend home safe.
And to not blame the victim.
It's on us.
To look out for each other.
To not look the other way.
It's on us to stand up.
To step in.
To take responsibility.
It's on us, all of us,
to stop sexual assault.
Learn how and take the pledge at itsonus.org.
Hello, hello, this is Martha, and this is the last 15 minutes of today's show. I know there was some hookup, there was some screw up, and I am sharing with you my personal experience, and I have a point in what I'm sharing, and what I'm sharing is the dynamics of men, women, mother, daughter, inability to receive, and I started to talk about the newspaper story just before the break. And, okay, so I'm just going to summarize what I just said before the break, which is essentially, mom wants to sell newspapers. Dad says, don't sell it. We'll donate it to charity. Mom insists. Dad says, no. Mom insists again. Newspaper collection guys comes. And mom swims open the door and then tells the guy, hey, I'm selling the newspapers. And then my dad is, of course, feeling really frustrated. He just said three times, leave the newspapers, let's donate it to charity. She insists she wants the newspapers sold, and she wants the newspapers sold now. So essentially in taking charge of the situation, in swinging open the door and telling the newspaper guy, I'm selling the newspapers. Essentially what she's doing is she's taking over. She's, what do you call it, a veto him. She's totally disregarding what he has just said three times, and he's dismissing him. Okay, so here I am observing this interaction without a word, and I sense, right, I'm an empath, I sense how at first my dad is shocked, like, didn't he just say this three times? At first he's shocked, then he's angry, then he gets resigned, like, he's like, what can he do? Like, he doesn't want to hurt my mom, doesn't want to yell and scream because she's unwell, as I mentioned. And then he goes quiet. He's silent, right? So I know I'm sharing my story about my parents, okay? But I'm sharing this story because I want you to know that actually I see this playing out with my clients. And I'm inviting you to reflect on your own life, whether you've done this, whether you've vetoed people in your life who basically stated their preference or their request or whatever it is, and you've basically gone ahead and just done it your own way anyway, disregarding them. And what happens when you do something like that is you dismiss the person, right? The person feels dismissed. The person feels disrespected. The person feels overruled. And it's not necessarily your partner. It could be your parents. It could be your friends. These people feel, you know, disrespected. And what happens with that is, I feel, it kills love, goodwill, and happiness in that relationship. So then I start to reflect, you know, the shadow side, which is, you know, these are my parents. Am I like my parents? I grew up in this environment. Did I do this in previous relationships? I started to reflect on that. And so I invite you to take my story and reflect on your own patterns and see if you have a pattern of doing that in your relationships to your loved ones. And I also started to wonder whether this is a scenario that might also be playing out in the marriages and relationships of my clients. And in these situations, you get what you want, right? You assert yourself, you get what you want. You think you're winning, but I actually think you're losing. It's kind of like what I describe. You win the battle, but you lose the war. And, you know, like, the war is made out of several small battles. And maybe you win one, but actually in the end you lose because the resentment and the frustration just builds up over time. And it can result, as I see, misunderstandings, miscommunication, shutdown. What I describe, the killing of love. And it's not just one negative experience that kills love. It's many, many, many over time that starts to accumulate. And sometimes there is also like a misinterpretation of what the other person is doing. And I'm sure in doing this whole like newspaper thing, my mom probably doesn't have the insight or the self-awareness to realize like what she has done to my dad and how my dad feels. She probably hasn't taken the time to reflect on that. What also ends up happening is, you know, in a series of wanting to win, she might feel really good about herself and really powerful and maybe feel really useful. Done quickly. As we probably know, we could have done it in a different way, we could have done it in a better way. In her rushing through the process and not thinking through, first of all, she hurt my dad. And in another situation, she could have really thought about what she could have done to maybe not use that opportunity of the newspaper's incident to actually strengthen their love. Not just kill love, but strengthen their love. So she wants to get rid of the newspapers now, but my dad wants to donate it to charity. She could have said, yeah, you know, you have a good heart. I really appreciate your heart. However, you know, this newspaper is really getting in the way. So, you know, there are options around it. I'm just kind of like brainstorming here. She could have said, let's collect a whole bunch of stuff and let's bring it down to donate so that we can do more good more quickly. So you get my point. She could have created a not just a situation where my dad would be okay. She could actually create a situation where she would feel more love towards my mom. And then both of them will feel closer for it. In trying to fulfill her objective of clearing the newspapers and having space, she forgot like there are other things, other dynamics, other micro goals that she may not have seen. And maybe it's not important to her that she strengthens her marriage and build love. It's not important to her. She just wants to get her way, and it's always her way or the highway. And yet at the same time, could there have been ways where she could get her way and at the same time not kill love? So these are things that we can be thinking about. And so this is actually a dynamic that I see happening with couples all the time. And it's really sad because I feel sometimes with the whole masculine, feminine energies that we have inside us, the heterosexual woman or the female who has more masculine energy, who has been disappointed by her man, wants to and feels that she needs to take charge. And probably, I'm sure, my mom feels many times in her life let down by my dad, feeling that she needs to take charge. And so in this situation, when she states what she wants and my dad says something else, she doesn't believe that it would get done. She doesn't believe that he would make sure that the newspapers would get donated to charity on the 24th. She could have waited. She didn't want to wait, but she actually also didn't believe that it would happen on the 24th. And this is what happens to people who feel let down. They feel that they need to take charge. And when we take charge all the time, we get tired. And so what I'm noticing is that the females who have a strong masculine, who feel that need to take charge all the time, they actually are making themselves exhausted or feeling exhausted in relationships. And this is there are many ways in which one can communicate and navigate so that it becomes something that is, like what I mentioned earlier, a win-win. It is something that actually strengthens and adds love to the relationship rather than drains from the relationship. So some of you might be wondering, I'm spouting all these things, I'm sharing stories, I'm sharing my higher self perspective. How exactly can you begin to do all this? I think in sharing of stories, being able to see how much of it you can apply in your life, one of the things you can do is get clear what is it that you want for yourself in your life. Do you want more love? Do you want your partner to show up more? Do you want to be open to love? Get very clear this is what you want. Then begin to look in your life for areas in which you could do better. So one of the things you could do is to do some self-reflection of incidences that happen in your life where you might be unconscious. And in being conscious, what you need to do is heighten your awareness. First of all, having the objective, number one. The two, heightening your consciousness, your awareness, by doing some form of self-reflection. I wouldn't be able to look at my mom and go, mom is doing this, this is happening, this is what she's doing, this is what I don't like. I guess she's doing this because this is a pattern. Okay, am I like that? Am I clients like that? How can I learn from her? How can I not be like this? How can I use this story to help more people? And so I share it. I'm not sharing this because I want to hurt my mom, and I'm sure my mom would be hurt. And some people actually turn around and say things like, you know, you're not your mom. You don't understand what your mom is feeling. I know I'm not my mom. I know my mom. I know I don't know what my mom is feeling. I'm just guessing what my mom is thinking, feeling, expressing. I'm guessing it. I claim no part in knowing my mom. I'm guessing it, I'm interpreting it, and I'm sharing what I think and know of it in the hopes of possibly helping people. And yet at the same time, I have true compassion for her. So sometimes you have people who attack you even though you feeling well. So okay, so these are the things that I feel would be beneficial. Having a goal for more love and tightening your self-awareness, and from there you can take actions towards having more love and spirituality in your life. So this is Martha of Arrows Evolution, and I see you, hope to see you next week, where I will have Jacob Pata again, and this time we'll be talking about different dynamics regarding around sexuality. So stay tuned to Arrows Evolution next week.